He scores! And the Ballers win! Helena is no longer undefeated!
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Barons win! Barons win!
Cody Jansen stopped 92 out of 95 shots, including a penalty shot in overtime. Somehow he still only wound up the third star of the game.
You like that?
Jansen has a heart.
Y'all smoked it crack!
Feeling pretty good. It's a Wednesday. We already had hockey this morning. Channel 1 Cup underway. It's World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. You guys already know Lord Co. They're official retailer partners of Hockey Canada and Team Canada. And Road to the World Juniors, that's starting next week. Obviously, it's still going on for Lord Co's side. Our side, Road to the World Juniors, that starts next week. You do not want to miss it. Lord Co Auto Parts, there should be your go-to auto parts store since 1974. Lord Co, they've been a trusted supplier of aftermarket auto parts and accessories. Shop owners, automotive professionals, and do-it-yourself vehicle owners know it's the place to go for fast and knowledgeable service. Check out its new location on Calgary Trail Northwest, and don't forget to stroll through its in-store truck centers for the latest truck accessories and high-performance products. The doors are open 7 days a week. View, visit, whatever, store hours and services at lordco.com. Canada, they ended up losing today. It was 4-3. It was a close one. It was a good game. And we'll dive into everything Channel 1 Cup in about 15 minutes with Ben Holden, KHL play-by-play voice. Also, the Flyers, the Fly guys, they were buzzing last night. We'll catch up with Zach Medeiros, Grey Cup champion. Maybe get his thoughts on his Hamilton Tiger Cats losing. I guess they're not his Hamilton Tiger Cats, but he's out east. They're Ontario. It's all the same stuff. They ended up losing against Winnipeg in overtime. We'll get his thoughts. Maybe a quick Grey Cup thought there as well. Plus his Flyers, absolutely buzzing. Beat New Jersey 6-1. Carter Hart, he's the real deal. Do the Flyers have what it takes? They're a 500 team right now. Is there any way that they could just turn it around? If they get hot, are they actual contenders? Or is this just a meddling, lukewarm team? I don't know. We also got 12-ounce sports hopping in the conversation early, of course. Join in Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, Zingo TV, channel 761, wherever you're watching from. Join the conversation right now. I watched that Toronto-Edmonton game last night. Toronto punched them in the mouth for 60 minutes. Edmonton needs to trade for Hudobin or Varlamov. That's a hot take and a half. Every time I watch Mikko Koskinen, he's downright terrible. Auston Matthews was amazing. Edmonton wished they had Jack Campbell from Toronto. Edmonton needs help outside of Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl. Holy, what a start. Coming in hot and heavy. Join the conversation anytime. I like the topic of where did things go wrong for Edmonton? What do they have to do? And so if you're watching right now, join the conversation of what do the Edmonton Oilers need to do? And what should the NHL do about COVID? I mean, we talked about, hey, it's kind of getting out of hand. Should the over-under be set at 9.5? No, it's like 35 more guys going on COVID protocol today. I got to give credit to our guy, Slim. I mean, he's hilarious on Twitter, at Slim Valji. But he said, at this point, it's easier to mention the Calgary Flames who are not in COVID protocol. Oliver Shillington, Dan Vladar, Blake Coleman, Michael Backlund, Matthew Tkachuk, and Dylan Dubé. That's pretty horrifying right there when you're starting to name the players who aren't in COVID protocol instead of the ones who are. 12-ounce sports, I will respond to that tweet here. Yes, Toronto did punch the Oilers in the mouth for 60 minutes. Oilers had some chances. They put them back on their heels for a couple of shifts here and there. Do they need to trade for Hudobin or Varlamov? I don't see that really making a difference. I don't see him fitting that under the cap either. Every time you watch Mikko Koskinen, he's downright terrible. Well, he's a backup goaltender who's forced to play starting minutes. Not his choice. End of the day, they don't really have any other options right now. They didn't address it in the offseason. They chose not to address it in the offseason. And with Mike Smith being out, that's just the situation they're in right now. Auston Matthews, he was amazing. Well, he's a great goal scorer. He's got a great shooter. And if you're, playing against a goaltender who's not great at stopping the first shot, Yeah, he's going to rip you up. He's going to eat you apart. That's what Austin Matthews did. Mikko Koskinen's not a goaltender where you're like, wow, he stops the first one all the time and his defense doesn't help him. No, he's getting beat cleanly, you know, twice a game at least. Something around those. Edmonton wishes they had Jack Campbell. Well, I think everyone wishes they had Jack Campbell if he's got a 935 save percentage. But again, he's never been a starter for a full season. And let's actually let the playoffs tell the story. Edmonton needs help outside of Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl. How long have we been saying that for? But you don't have Zach Hyman last night. You're still a little banged up on the back end. I get it. It's not a perfect team right now. And Oilers fans, you don't need to be celebrating anything with the start. You can be worried. Your team's almost out of a playoff spot. Maybe it's not the panic button time yet, but you got to find a solution pretty damn fast. It's becoming unacceptable for this team to have lost five straight home games. When you talk about some of the best home atmospheres, home crowds, Edmonton's up there. And not just because the fans are passionate and they're chucking jerseys on the ice. Hey, we got to talk about this. Jerseys being thrown on the ice? Who cares? Everyone's acting like they're throwing puppies on the ice. It's a jersey, for crying out loud. Hey, everyone's making such a big damn deal about this. They're like, I can't believe it. That's so childish. The disrespect. How could they do that? You know, you're throwing away money. You can't tell someone what to do with their money. I can't tell the government what to do with my taxes. If I give someone 20 bucks on the street, I'm not telling them what to do with it. You hope they make good decisions. But come on, we're acting. There's people blowing this out of proportion. There's like, oh, I'm so disappointed. It's embarrassing. I would have killed for a jersey. Hey, I get it. Not everyone's in the same financial situation, but you can't be telling someone what to do with their money. I think it's asinine. I think that person definitely made an ass of themselves. I think it's a stupid look on Oilers fans. But end of the day, so for someone to actually get pissed off about it, like I'm imagining these people shooting tweets out and punching air when they're watching the replay on Twitter. Like, calm down, everyone. It's a jersey. It's on the ice. No one was physically harmed in this. That's where you just gotta leave it at. It's that simple. Elsewhere in the NHL last night, I guess we will snap it around. The Flyers, they won 6-1, as we already talked about. It was against New Jersey, though. Do those even count? New Jersey kind of sucks. Vegas beat Boston 4-1. Tampa over LA 3-2 in overtime. Ottawa just kicked Florida's teeth in 8-2. Pittsburgh 5-2 over Montreal. The Habs suck. They got 6 wins in 30 games this year. That team is a toilet bowl. Detroit doubles up the Islanders 2-1. Something's going on the island. Maybe it's time that they sell. I don't know. I'd say that the Islanders are... You can blame COVID, you can blame whatever you want. End of the day, this team does not have it. Buffalo doubles up Winnipeg. That's the only reason the Buffalo win and Seattle winning. That's the only reason the Oilers are still in a playoff spot right now. If either of those teams lost to Winnipeg or San Jose, the Oilers would have been out of a playoff spot after 6 straight losses. St. Louis beats Dallas 4-1. The Blues are looking legit. Colorado, Cale Makar, Bobby Makar, whatever you want to call him. He had a goal there against New York. They win 4-2. Vancouver, good comeback against Columbus. Hey, they're a hot team right now. I don't exactly agree with Adam's take that, well, you know, we got to pump the brakes. Celebrate it. If you're winning games, celebrate it. The Canucks fans, they don't get much to celebrate. They're kind of just losers out in Vancouver. No, we love you, Canucks fans. But again, celebrate it. Just don't get too high on your team. Quinn Hughes isn't as good as Cale Makar. Pedersen's not as good as Johnny Gaudreau. And your team isn't even close to being legitimate contenders. Just remember that while you're celebrating, if I can leave you with one thing to remember. Also, Seattle, they beat San Jose 3-1. Today's games, I don't see... Yeah, none of them have been postponed yet. I know there was some rumblings about games and COVID cases. So far tonight, 6 o'clock, you got Washington, Chicago. You got New York Rangers against Arizona and Seattle against Anaheim. Join the conversation anytime at World Hockey RPT on Twitter. I'm there at Janner31 coming to you live from Alberta in the beautiful Pro Rock broadcast studios today. It's Wednesday, it's hump day, it's whatever you want to call it. And we had international hockey this morning. Canada, they fall 4-3 to Russia. And I had to bring back this legendary Don Cherry clip. I'll play it for you in about 30 seconds. I got to tweet it out that it's coming up, or else people are going to be pissed off if I don't mention it. But I want to know, join the conversation anytime. What's your favorite Canada-Russia hockey moment? It could be any international event. And speaking of Olympics, I still hope players go. I really still hope that players go to the Olympics, any chillers. But I want to know, what's your favorite Canada-Russia clip? Let us know anytime during the conversation at 12 Ounce Sports. Let's get to the Don Cherry clip, though. This is a classic. This is 1996, and it's Don talking about the Russians.
Look, I got to say something. I'm going to get in a lot of trouble here, but what is this, hockey night in Canada or hockey night in Russia? All I hear, how great these guys are, how there they were, Detroit, the Fabulous Five. Now I'm hearing how great they are tonight. Can't intimidate them, can't scare them. How about the time when Vanette ran over the guy and they walked off the ice? How about the time Clark broke the guy's ankle? They never won a game after. How about that? How about Messier? Wait a minute. Okay. How about Messier in Edmonton? Waxed the guy, 42 stitches. They wanted to go home. How about tonight? They were losing. Canada was losing 1-0 tonight. Eric Graff slaps that yellow little Kasparaitis around. He hits the guy after a whistle. He submarined him, Primo, after an offside. It was 1-0. Eric grabbed the little rat, slapped him around a little. 3-1. Can't scare them. What is this? I'm sick and tired
of
hearing how great they are. Down 3-1. They died. The Fabulous Five died. They are sucked, and they always have sucked. The only time we lost in the Canada Cup, what this should be called, was because when Mike Liu turned into a sieve, and we only lost one game. Other than that, they've done nothing.
Well, there's so many legendary quotes in that one. They suck, and they've always sucked. Mike Liu turns into a sieve. I mean, that's got to be one of the best sound bites of all time. I don't know. Let me know. If you got a better one, join the conversation right now on 12 Ounce Sports. I think that's a pretty legendary hit by Don Cherry. Like, I mean, that's just old school TV. That's when he went off. And I get it. Everyone's going to have their own thoughts on Don Cherry. That, you know, his recent, well, it's a couple of years ago. Like his comments to get some canceled and everything. People might not like him. But you can't not listen to that quote and be a little, you know, happy. It's got to put a smile on your face because he's a legend. It's Don Cherry. So if you didn't grow up watching him, maybe you don't understand as much, but he was hilarious. And just the way he talks about Russians, that is legendary. All right, let's get to some NHL news right now. Might as well for our friends over at Quack Stats. Canada, USA, they're going to play tonight in the rivalry series. This one's in St. Louis, women's hockey, of course. 8 o'clock Eastern time, that one starts. From Elliot Friedman here, you got Kelman from San Jose and Borgman from Dallas. They're both on unconditional waivers, likely to be bought out. Per Pierre LeBrun, the Nashville Predators had more COVID testing this morning. They're slated to host the Avs tomorrow night. Could be postponed depending test results. They're obviously having more issues. The Flames are having more issues. Dave Tippett's tested positive for COVID. And Josh Anderson. He's expected to be out 8 weeks. I don't know if we got an exact injury here. So this is going to be 8 weeks as of December 2nd. Upper body injury there. There's a funny clip, too. I tweeted it out on World Hockey Report. Go check it out. World Hockey RPT. It's a great one. It's Dale Hawerchuk flipping the puck over the net and just batting it in out of midair. So for Torts to be talking about how creativity is killing the game, how this wouldn't have happened in the 90s or the early 2000s, well, the proof's in the pudding. It's right in front of you. Dale Hawerchuk can do it. No one stopped him. No one took a run at him. No one tried to, you know, lose their minds over it. No, it was creative. He put the puck in the back of the net. That's all they ask. Doesn't matter if you flip it over the net or take a slap shot from the blue line. End of the day, you play hockey to score goals. The team that scores the most goals wins the hockey game. So I can imagine Torts punching air a little bit. Join the conversation, though. Our next guest, Ben Holden, KHL play-by-play announcer on the Portable TV app. He is going to join us and break down everything. Channel 1 Cup. That's going on today, Canada. They fall 4-3 against Russia. It was a good game. It was a competitive game. I really don't have any complaints about what I watched. It was a fast-paced hockey game. You're going to see guys like Jordy Weal, Justin Pogge, Reese Scarlett, Eric Fair. A lot of good teams in action. And Russia's got a good team. It's fast hockey. You know that they're going to get all the penalty calls. We're going to have to ask about that. A little bit of an empty crowd. Maybe we'll talk about that as well. Don't want to piss off anyone in Russia, though. We don't need Putin commenting on the show anytime soon. All right, let's off to a commercial break. It's Cody Jansen, World Hockey Report. We are presented by Lordco Auto Parts, and you can follow us on Twitter at World Hockey RPT anytime.
Follow Team Canada with Sports Travel Tours in their bid to win back-to-back world championships. Canada will play all their games in beautiful Helsinki, Finland, and will face Switzerland, Germany, and Russia. Sports Travel Tour packages includes a fantastic hotel, all transfers, amazing game tickets, a tour host, as well as a pre-game party. Check out the official world championship packages at sportstraveltours.com.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but with the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any NFL team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets if they score. You can score with promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit, $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What we do here is go back.
It's World Hockey Report. Cody Jansen here. We are presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Of course, visit Lordco's in-store truck centers, open 7 days a week at select locations. Now, we talked Channel 1 Cup earlier, and who better than a play-by-play announcer in the KHL to talk about it? Ben Holden joins us on the line right now. Ben, let's talk about the tournament, and as a whole, how much or how meaningful is this to Russian hockey to know that, you know, this is a widely rostered tournament of KHL players on the international stage now from six different countries?
Yeah, I think it's great. One of the things that I've learned to like about working in this league and calling games every day in the league is how they embrace the international stage. I think it's great that they let the players do it. Obviously for us here at Portable TV, no games this week, but you know, let's be honest, it's a grind and when you're doing a full season. So we're welcoming a break, but I think for the players, I think it's great. I mean, I talked to Cali Kosala last week. He plays for Jokerit. He was supposed to play. They had some issues with COVID, I believe it was, or some other kind of illness going around, and they had four guys on their team. And I've known Cali a long time since he played at St. Cloud. And, you know, you could just hear it in his voice, the meaning it has for these guys to put on their country uniform and the sweater and the flag on the crest of their jersey, or like today, in the case, the old throwbacks that the Russian team are wearing. So it's a cool thing. I think it's great they do it. I love seeing it. And I love seeing guys in Dallas play for their country. So it's a really cool thing. I'm enjoying the game so far.
So, Ben, outside of poor reffing, what can Canadian fans expect here?
Outside of poor reffing. You know, I shake my head every now and then, man, on some calls. I mean, you know, I know here in North America we've gotten, I think, used to the, you know, you put a stick on a guy's thigh or you put it on his ribs and it's a penalty, but I think you're going to see some really good high-end hockey. I mean, I love the Russian team. They're stacked with guys in the KHL, as we know, and the Canadian team, for that matter. I think they got like 16 guys on their roster. So it's, one of the things that I've learned to like about the league and the style of play over there is it's to me, you see a ton of that old Russian, old school mentality. You don't see a lot of dump and chase. And I'm an offensive guy. And as a play-by-play guy, I'm fine calling 6-5 games or whatever they are if they're high scoring. So I think the skill across the board on all these teams is really strong. I think it's a great tournament for the week. And I think, you know, in the end, it's hard to pick against the Russians when they're playing at home. But, you know, you can never count the Finns out. And you can never count the Swedes out. And, you know, I think those teams are loaded too. So I'm really excited to watch it throughout the week.
So I guess from a North American perspective, Canada's obviously got a team in this. I don't believe the Americans do, though. That's correct?
That is correct, yeah.
So why would that be the case then, Ben? I mean, I don't need you to have any in-depth or insider information, but you got to think that there's enough Americans playing in the KHL at that level or even in the elite European leagues. Is it something where USA Hockey just doesn't want to throw something together? Because that feels like a missed opportunity in my side.
I agree with you. I was surprised too as I'm still week by week learning and educating myself on the league and the way things operate, especially with these international events, with the breaks. I mean, it's a weird year in the league. There's 3 or 4 different breaks, and then you got the Olympic break obviously included for the KHL. So I'm with you, man. I think that the U.S. should have a team there, and there aren't a ton of guys from the U.S. in the KHL, but to your point, I think there are enough players that are playing in the Swiss, the German, the whatever league it is over in Europe that they could. And I totally agree. I think it is a missed opportunity. I think we should be on that stage. I say we as an American. It would be a great thing to see, and maybe it'll come within time. But I don't know. Maybe it's just with all the things going on in the world. But, you know, if you go back years, they've never been involved in this thing. So I think it'd be great for USA Hockey to get involved and to have a team over there. I'd love to see it. I think it'd be great for our country, great for the sport, as you and I both know. I mean, the U.S. has, you know, become a pretty strong team in these international tournaments, whether it's a World Junior team or, you know, Olympic teams at times. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think it'd be cool to see us have a red, white, and blue team in this thing down the road.
So I've got one more question about the tournament as a whole, and that's kind of location. It's in Moscow, and looking at the rink today, maybe there's restrictions I don't know about. Again, you're a lot closer to the league than I am. Were you a little shocked to see so many empty seats in the lower bowl? Like, there was full sections that were looking pretty thin there. And I know Russians love their hockey. I just don't know, was there any reasoning that I might not know about or hockey fans might not know about? Because I think of Russia, Canada, I think that place should be packed to the brim and just be electric in there.
I'm with you, man. I feel the same way. And to your question, there are restrictions. It depends on what part of Russia. And then as we see in the KHL, I know, for example, Dinamo Riga a few weeks ago said no fans for a while. So it's hit or miss throughout the league. Like if you take, you take Akbars, for example, and their buildings, like, as I like to say, it's like a scene out of Happy Gilmore. I mean, there's beach balls flying around and there's fans packed in. Joker, it's been kind of similar that way up in Helsinki. So it really is part of the restrictions and it's just, it's hit or miss. We have, where I work here in DC, where we do our games here at Portable TV, we do have a pretty strong Russian influence. A lot of people from Russia that work here. And I work with a young lady that's from Moscow, and she keeps me really informed on what's going on over there. So it is in part to that. Otherwise, I'm with you, man. I think the building should be banging. I think it should be full, loud, rowdy, and, you know, people having a good time. So, you know, we're all dealing with it around the world. And, yeah, it's a little, you know, you want to see the place packed, you know, as I always say, the louder, the better. So, you know, hopefully we can continue to get closer to where it's not a factor. And, you know, as we know here in North America, it's becoming a factor in just about every league. So it is different. There are restrictions. So that's the end result why you're not seeing these buildings packed.
So you mentioned Akbar, so I might as well ask about Jordy Weal right now. I mean, friend of the program.
Yeah.
You've seen his season here. He's playing for Canada. What's your takeaways from watching him play? Because this guy, I'm not to say he didn't get a fair crack in the NHL, but it just seemed like he was never in that situation that worked out perfect for him.
Yeah, you know, we were talking offline about another guy, Steve Camper, you know, but at first to your point about Jordan, the first thing that comes to my mind is explosiveness. I mean, he just, he's like, he's got a rocket on his back every time I do one of their games. He's up and down the ice. He's great in every zone. He's got a hell of a shot. He can move as good as anybody in this league. And there's some incredible skill in this league. I mean, you know, I think some people still think that, you know, the KHL is a, you know, a feeder league to the NHL. I don't agree with that based on now being into my fourth month. I think if there were 40 teams in the NHL, I don't know that this league would exist. I'll put it to you that way. I think there's that much skill and that much talent in this league. And Jordan Wheel's certainly one of those guys. I mean, he had a 4-goal game earlier this year. Unbelievable player, fun to watch, keeps me on my toes when I'm calling games. And again, I love offense. So he's a guy that I like to watch and, you know, see what he can do when he's out on the ice.
Ben Holden, my guest on World Hockey Report here. He's a play-by-play announcer for the KHL on Portable TV. It's Cody Jansen coming to you live from the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios. We're talking Russian hockey right now, and a former Swift Current Broncos in the Channel 1 Cup as well, Reese Scarlett. He's one of the better mobile defensemen out there as well. I think he's playing in Latvia this year. What have you noticed from him if you've gotten to call some of his games or you know, seen him at the tournament here?
I've seen him a few times, and yeah, he is. He's mobile. He's active. He's one of those guys that likes to jump up in the play, and you know, good resume, good background, and fun guy to watch. You know, he's a puck mover and a guy that can, you know, he can make a difference for your team. And at times, he's made a difference for their team. It's been a bit of a struggle for their club this year, but you know, another fun guy to watch and a guy that really gets after it. And you know, he's a big asset to the Canadian team. And, you know, I think their team's gone through a lot. You know, they've had a lot of change in their team. And, you know, I think to use a hockey phrase, he's been one of those calming presences on their team and, you know, keeps that group together on the back end for them in Riga.
So one of my favorite goaltenders on the international level, and he's had some success. I can't remember. It was a couple of years ago, World Championships, I think, Magnus Hellberg, Swedish netminder there. Big, positionally well, moves awesome. I believe he had a couple of kicks in the American League, maybe a few NHL games up there as well. But for Sweden, essentially, Hellberg's going to steal the show if they want a chance, right? Because it's a tough tournament when I would say your top three teams automatically are Russia, Finland, Canada.
I agree with that. And, you know, he gets talked a lot about on our broadcast because we've done – early in the season, we did a lot of Sochi games. One, or I'll use a TV term, they have an incredible feed that we get from them out of their building. So that factors into when we make decisions on what games we're carrying. Sochi down there on the Black Sea, and they had a coaching change earlier in the year. Andrei Nazarov came in, and Hellberg, again, calming presence. Veteran guy, as you said, he's the guy that really drives that ship. And early on when I was doing, we did a lot of Sochi games. I'd say September, October, we did quite a bit. And when Nazarov came in, me being a hockey guy like you, 20 some years of covering the sport, you could see every single game that incrementally they were getting better. They've got a lot of really good young talent on that team. And it, the old adage, man, it starts from the net out. And Magnus is that calming guy back there. Big time play out of him. They had a great win the other day. He wasn't his best game. They fell behind by 4. They came back and won the game. So he's a huge cog in the wheel for them. And 100% agree with you. If Sweden's going to have a chance, he's going to have a game, maybe 2 games, where he can steal them a couple of wins in this tournament. So, but a proven guy, I think clearly one of the best guys among the league leaders in shutouts in the KHL to this point. Right up there with guys like Lars Johansson from SKA, and he's one of the better ones in the league. So, yeah, he's certainly a guy to watch here in the Channel 1.
I had no clue that Nazarov was back in the league. That's the same one who was in Vityaz, right?
Who's that?
Nazarov, whatever. I don't have the perfect.
Andrei Nazarov. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Nazarov. Yeah, well, back in his day, he was a 10th overall pick by the Sharks, I believe, off the top of my head in 92. Reputation for being put this kindly reputation for stirring the pot. in the early goings, I had a couple people overseas in Germany, I believe they both are, that were longtime fans of the league, and they would send me a lot of information. They knew my background, obviously doing college and some pro here in the U.S. in my career and in hockey, and they helped to educate me. And there was one incident, he went after a fan and a bit of a loose cannon, I guess, you know, you could put it that way. But I'll tell you what, man, I go back to what I was saying about their team. And when you asked me about Hellberg, you could see it every single time they played, the players are buying in. I mean, he benched a lot of his veteran guys. And, you know, people would ask me, well, why is he not playing this guy? Why is he not playing that guy? And I said, look, because they probably haven't bought in. And then a couple weeks later, some of those guys were making their way back in the lineup. And there were no injuries either. It was, to me, it was just simply they weren't buying in. The younger guys were playing their you-know-whats off, and they were giving him more, and they were playing the system he wanted to play. And look, I'm not saying his team's going to win the Gagarin Cup this year by any means, because if you're in the Western Conference in the KHL, man, good luck, because that conference is unbelievably good. But I think they're going to challenge, and they are. They're challenging right now for a playoff spot. So, you know, he's a guy that that demands a lot out of his guys. He's been called the Russian version of Mike Keenan. So anyone that knows hockey knows what I mean by that. So right there pretty much says it all. But what he's doing is working, and you see it in his team. And once again, it starts with Hellberg, and he's the leader of that club from the net out.
Couple wild stories that have been told about that guy. I got one more for you. I know I've taken you long, but this has been awesome. Ben Holden, my guest here, play-by-play announcer in the KHL. I got to ask about Sergei Fedorov, because you're now engraved in the league, and all we hear about, all I ever see when it comes down to Russian staff is Sergei Fedorov. Like, he's taken over, and this is no disrespect at all to Vladislav Tretiak, because I think he's, you know, he's one of my favorite goaltenders all time growing up. But it seems like Fedorov's taken over as the guy in Russian hockey. Is that fair to say? Because his name is over everything. Like, anytime Russian hockey comes up, international, the league, the KHL, anything, Sergei Fedorov's who they're going to.
You'd find it hard for me to disagree in any way, shape, or form. Number one, I'm from Detroit in Michigan, so he was obviously a hero of mine as a young guy. And
get him on the broadcast.
We're working on it, brother. We are, trust me. And so twice this year, he did this in back-to-back games. And I said this, first I'll tell you what he did. Back-to-back games about 2 weeks ago, in the 3-on-3, he yanked his goaltender. And I said to people, they're like, what, is he nuts? And I'm like, that's the way Sergei played, man. He played the game on the edge. He played the game fast on the edge from an offensive standpoint, obviously. Played the game with an aggressive nature. He took risks, and to me, I mean, I got to be careful here too, where I work too. You know, Alexander Ovechkin plays six blocks down the road from where our studio is, man. But he is. I really believe he is. And in both those games, he pulled his goalie, and it's different in the KHL. As far as I know and what I've read and learned, it's not like the National Hockey League, where back in 15-16, they instituted a rule change where if you pull the goalie in the 3-on-3, and you get scored on, you don't get the point. I mean, that takes some brass stones, man, to do that. He did it twice in a row. They won both games. And he's early in the season, his team, people would ask me and people in our group that I talked to, and they'd say, what's wrong with CSKA? And it was one word. It was consistency. And I think it's taken Sergei a little bit of time to get used to running the team the way he's running it. But he's got a hell of a team. They're in that Western Conference with Dynamo, with Jokerit, with Severstal, with SKA. I mean, that conference playoff's going to be, I can't wait, because that's like a murderer's row of teams in this league. The East is good, but the West is better. And his team's right there. And they look, I mean, they've been in that organization's been in the Cup final each of the last 3 years. And Sergei was the GM of their team last year when they lost to Bob Hartley and Avangard. And Bob's a guy I've gotten to know and talk to, and unbelievable dude, and, you know, very helpful to me as I learn his team and learn the league and the way he goes about things. So, Sergei's the man. He is. It's great to see him on the bench when we do our games. He still looks like he's about 35 years old, got the hair slicked back, calm demeanor. Never see him get excited or upset. He's Sergei, man. And I agree with you. I think he is. He's on that track to becoming the face of the sport in the country of Russia, no doubt.
Ben, this has been awesome. Educational, everything fans are looking for. Thank you so much. Best of luck with the rest of the season. Enjoy the Channel 1 Cup. And hey, I think we're going to have to catch up with you before the Gagarin Cup. You and Jillian have been awesome on the Portable TV app. So thank you again for taking the time today.
Thanks for having me. Anytime. You guys keep up the great work, too. I enjoy interacting with you guys on social media and love seeing what you guys do. Great work out of you guys. Thanks so much.
Follow Team Canada with Sports Travel Tours in their bid to win back-to-back world championships. Canada will play all their games in beautiful Helsinki, Finland, and will face Switzerland, Germany, and Russia. Sports Travel Tour packages includes a fantastic hotel, all transfers, amazing game tickets, a tour host, as well as a pre-game party. Check out the official world championship packages at sportstraveltours.com.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but with the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any NFL team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code THPN, bet $1 on any team to score, and win $100 in free bets if they score. You can score with promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit, $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What we do here is go back.
It's World Hockey Report presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Find a store near you at lordco.com. Cody Jansen coming to you live from the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios in beautiful Alberta. Follow me on Twitter at Janner31 underscore on the show at World Hockey RPT. Tons to get through in the final 20 minutes here, but first, let's snap it over to our resident Grey Cup champion, Zach Medeiros. Let's talk about Hamilton. I mean, they made it an interesting game at home, but end of the day, they lose against Winnipeg in the Grey Cup final. Okay, you got a quick second here. Let's talk about that. Obviously, it's good for the game, but numbers were way down. I want the full breakdown, Zach. What did you think of the Grey Cup?
Grey Cup was awesome. I mean, Winnipeg, obviously, I knew in my head, that's probably the thing. You know, I was thinking more with my heart than it was my head, because I knew at the end of the day, on paper, Winnipeg was the better team. But, you know, Hamilton at home, they haven't won a Grey Cup in, what, 1999? So 20-plus years now. It was set up for them to win it. And they had the game wrapped up with about 7 minutes left, and they just couldn't close it out. And they kept the door open. And, you know, that partner for Hamilton, I feel for you, because I played in Hamilton numerous times, probably I think 5 or 6 in my career. Never won once there, but the win is atrocious. So I feel for him. He had like what, 229-yard pumps. Yeah, I mean, both places it gets really gusty, but Hamilton's pretty bad. But yeah, Sass is still, you know, the worst for sure.
Yeah, wind just doesn't die there. It just continues right through the province entirely. It was a good Grey Cup game. It sucks to see numbers down, but numbers are down everywhere. It doesn't matter if it's TV viewers or actual in-person attendance. I mean, COVID's just laying a hit on that one. But also, COVID's laying a hit in the games and on the rosters. Calgary's only got 6 players who aren't in COVID protocol right now. Like, I mean, we're not doctors here, Zach, but are you a little surprised to see COVID once again rain havoc on the league? Like, it's doing the exact same in the NFL as it is the NHL.
Yeah, I am. You know, I'm a little worried, too, especially for, like, teams right now who kind of need numbers. You know, I look at a team like the Flyers, and selfishly enough, I'm thinking about the injuries that they have right now, which, you know, guys like Farabee, Ellis is still out, you know, Brassard, I mean, it wasn't like a, you know, huge pickup, but still, he was playing second line, third line center for him, and they really can't afford. And then here we go, Frost is out now. He got pulled out of the lineup last night, which I just found out today had to do with, you know, the COVID protocol and coming with close contact with somebody. So selfishly, I'm thinking, you know what? Like, I hope that no one else has to exit their lineup because they're already kind of scraping by as there is. And there's not really much going on in the prospect pool because Cam York's down. And other than that, you know, you're not going to call another Max Willman because, I mean, you know, there's a dime dozen of those. So, yeah, I'm hoping that that's not the case for them because, you know what? They're on their way to making a cup run with a three-game win streak. So the last thing they need is another injury.
Cup run coming up next year. Hey, I know you're not watching the Oilers. It's way past your bedtime, but they've lost six straight, five at home in a row. I mean, fix them for us, Zach. Fix them from out east. You got to do something to change up the Oilers. What needs to be done?
Well, remember when you gave me a hard time about Grubauer not being like an elite goalie, even though he was a Vezina finalist last year? Ever heard the award there, people?
Does Seattle even have double-digit wins yet?
Seattle is a freaking expansion team. Are you kidding me right now? Of course he's not going to have a great year. It's going to be a project. All I'm saying is that you invest in a goalie, you know, at some point people had to know that Mike Smith was not going to have the year that he had last year. Like, COVID was a weird year. A lot of players were just playing above their heads. You know, and again, Koskinen, he's not really the answer. He's been shaky. That whoever that guy who coughed up that pizza against the Red Wings, Ben Scrivens Jr., yeah, Skinner, there you go. Like, obviously, he's not going to be the answer. And, you know, poor guy, I feel for him. But, you know what? They have to get, you know, they have to get that story out too. And their 5-on-5 play just hasn't been great either.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair breakdown, but you really didn't fix any of them. Like, do they go for Jacob Chychrun? If he's on the market, does it make sense for them to trade away Yamamoto, probably a high pick or another prospect, and someone else for a Jacob Chychrun? I mean, he comes at a reasonable cap hit, but like, does that even move the needle on the Oilers? If they still have Koskinen in the net, is goaltending the first thing they need to fix, or is it depth scoring? I don't know.
Yeah, a bit of both. Listen, I'm not an Oilers guy. Like, you know, you bring guy in for like CFL, like football and Flyers strictly. Like, what the hell am I going to say about the Oilers? It's been the same issue for them all the time. I mean, yeah, I'd bring a guy like Chychrun. Why not? I mean,
how many first rounders? Okay,
first round pick, wasn't he?
Okay, how many first round picks? So let's say it's Connor McDavid for Carter Hart, and how many first round picks does Philly have to include in that? Is five a reasonable number? Like their next five first round picks, or are we talking like 8 to 10?
I mean, we're arguably talking about the
how much? How much would you pay right now? Put your GM hat on, Zach.
I'm gonna probably say probably around 8, closer to 8 than 5 for sure.
And if they offered you that, they said Hart, 8 first rounders, and McDavid, you're pulling the trigger?
I'm pulling the trigger just because Philly hasn't done a great job drafting in the first round, probably for the past decade. You know,
I love it. So, yeah. That's ballsy. Anyone who's watching right now, join the conversation. Let me know if you do that. Carter Hart, 8 first-round picks for Connor McDavid. Only reasonable takes on this Wednesday edition of World Hockey Report. Okay, so in the NHL tonight, we got actually no. Back to your Flyers. I'm not done with them yet. So they beat New Jersey 6-1 last night. You watched the game. I mean, was it just an absolute teeth kicking? Because I think New Jersey's the biggest frauds in the league. Like Blackwood, he ain't an Olympic goaltender. Dougie Hamilton, no thanks. Not even a top five D man in the league. Jack Hughes is nasty, okay. But is he a number one center on a Stanley Cup championship team? Probably not.
I mean, I think Hamilton's pretty solid. I don't agree with you there. I think Jersey has some good pieces, but yeah, I agree with you. They're a bit fraudulent, and I mean, through this 10-game losing streak that the Flyers have, they actually lost to the Devils twice. And you know, finally, obviously, you fire AV, you move on for him. Now Mike Yeo, you enter him as the interim coach. And listen, I'm not saying that this is going to happen again, but if you go back, I don't know the exact year, I don't have it in front of me, but forever ago when Ken Hitchcock got let go from the St. Louis Blues. Who took over for him? Mike Yeo, right? And he took over, I think, in January, and he brought them to the playoffs. And coincidentally enough, he knocked out Chuck Fletcher's, the Flyers GM, Minnesota GM at the time. He knocked them out in the first round, brought them to the second round, where eventually I think they got whacked by the Blackhawks. However, I'm not saying that this is going to happen again, but they did need a new face. They needed a new message in the locker room because clearly it wasn't working. And I don't think the Flyers are 6-1 better than the Devils, but they're somewhere in between. And they're also not losers of 3-0. They're not that bad either against a team like that. But I'm curious to see how it goes. You know, I think if they, I don't know, like they have to go on a run here. I mean, 3 games is not going to cut it. And their strength of schedule for the next week or so is not that, you know, strong. I think they have the Canadiens up next and they have Ottawa on the weekend. So there is potential that they can have a 5-6 game winning streak and kind of get back into that race for that wild card spot, which they love doing every year. So let's fight for that bubble spot.
Mike Yeo is just the X that every team falls back on when they can their coach. Also,
Mike Yoda.
THPN's in the chat says, Cody, do you know what a Harewood dinner jacket is, Cody, because you're wearing one? I don't know. I mean, it's just a plaid jacket. It's kind of like my lumberjack jacket. It's cold out here. It's like minus 30. In Alberta, it sucks. I hate cold weather. I don't know. I mean, it's Canada. Canada's awesome, but like cold weather sucks. A nice winter at like -7, nice little snowfall. That's the best. I don't know. Do you agree with that? What's the best weather for you?
Well, that's the only weather I know, man. I live in Ontario, so I experience that yearly. And trust me, from the games I used to play out west when it's -15 with the wind chill of -40. Yeah, I would not want to be in your shoes either, man. I hate it out there. Ontario, yeah, I agree. Preferably -5 with light snow, not that much wind, which is usually what we kind of experience out here for the most part. That's kind of right in my wheelhouse.
Do you think they should move the Grey Cup? We are way off topic out of anything we planned on talking about. Like, December's way too late. Am I wrong? Like, have the Grey Cup November 1st or the first Sunday in November. That would be ideal. That would be perfect.
Or we also have 3 indoor stadiums, so you pick your choice.
No,
you're playing Toronto.
No, because then you still got to play the semifinals and other playoff games in absolute dog weather.
So what? Okay. But
so what?
Whatever.
That's not football. That's not football.
Should be at a neutral site. Yes, it is.
No, Cody Fajardo should be slinging it around in +5 weather, and the Riders should have taken care of the Blue Bombers, except they were playing with cold fingers, and I feel bad for them.
What? No, I do not feel bad for them at all. They forced Winnipeg to turn the ball over 6 times and still lost the game. That's unheard of.
Yeah, they were so bad in that first half. They had 5 turnovers and 10 points. If you have more points than turnovers, you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
Or more turnovers than points. I think I messed that one up. That was bad. It was a bad look on the Riders.
Okay, but you think of the NFL, it's the same thing. It's the same shit.
Yeah, but they got like 2 teams in cold. They have 2 teams that play in the cold.
You have Green Bay. You have Chicago.
That doesn't get that cold.
The whole AFC North is in cold weather. What are you talking about?
Now you get like, you've got Buffalo, you've got Minnesota and Green Bay. 3 teams.
Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Baltimore. They're not cold?
No. Hey, it's Big Ben's. Is this his last year? Do you actually believe it? You think he's done after this year?
Let's see if they make the playoffs or not. You know what? I wouldn't mind change there, obviously, with the way the year's gone. Except, listen, like, fans need to calm down a little bit. He's not the only problem. He can still be effective. And at times this year, when you give him the right protection, he can be effective. The guy can still throw the ball. Unfortunately, he's a statue and he's not as mobile as he used to be. He's not durable in that, you know, area of the game anymore. So my first fix during the offseason is, you need to work on the foundation. You need to bolster up your line on both ends of the ball and then figure out, you know, right now the drop at, you know, at the QB spot, it's not that strong. You might be able to find a diamond in the rough, but I would say, I hate saying this, but like, you don't really have a franchise guy in Mason Rudolph and you don't really have one. And what's Dwayne Haskins at this point? I mean, he's not even dressing for games. So it's like, clearly if they were sold on him, a former first round pick, he'd be dressing, and then Mason Rudolph would be the one, you know, with a clipboard and sweats. So that kind of concerns me a little bit, where if they don't really have a game plan for someone to kind of come in and take over the reins for Ben, you kind of have to ride out for another year, unless you have someone in the draft right now, or if you have a stopgap, if you can get, you know, I've heard of Aaron Rodgers, his name's been popped around lately that they might. I don't really believe in that. I've just seen it as a rumor.
You got a better chance at Andy Dalton, maybe.
Right. But again, do you really want to bring a guy like that? I don't know. Like, I'm kind of tired of like things like that. Either get someone in the draft early on, which again, I'm not really a big fan of that. I'd rather just invest in the first three picks in linemen, in my opinion. But if you can find a free agent who's willing to come here, like a guy like Russ, if a guy like Rogers wants to come here for 2 years and kind of groom a young guy coming up, I don't know. But I mean, at this point, their options are very scarce, and Ben might be the only option going into next season, which again, I don't mind as long as they bolster up the line.
Ben sucks. I mean, they've won what, one of their last five games? They had a championship style win over the Chicago Bears. I mean, that's as big as winning the Super Bowl. It was a very tough game. They probably didn't deserve to win it, but the Bears, you know, they let them have it. They're young. The Bears are a young team. And then after that, the Steelers have absolutely been trash. They allowed, what, 50 points against the Chargers. They tied the Lions.
How many points did the Chargers allow that game?
The Bengals kicked their shins in. They snuck past the Ravens by half a point, and then the Vikings dropped 36 points on them.
And then how many points did the Vikings give up in the last quarter of that game? Steelers almost got...
So just because they had one good quarter, you're telling me you want Big Ben back?
You're telling me that the Vikings go up 29-0 at halftime, and that's Ben's fault? How about the defense? Hey, let's make a stop.
Did you hear how many points you said the Steelers had? At half? Nothing.
Okay.
That's the story.
It's
pretty tough to win a football game if you don't score.
It's also pretty tough to win a football game when your defense can't stop anyone. There's also there's three units here, but when one unit's not doing their job, it's kind of hard for the other unit to do something. I mean, yeah, I agree.
Leaders got a lead, Zach. Leaders got a lead.
Yeah, TJ Watt's also a leader on that defense, you know? Fitzpatrick is also a leader on that team. Like, you know, Cam Hayward, he's been there for a decade. He's also a leader on that team. Where are they?
I just wanted to get you riled up. No one cares about the NFL once the Chicago Bears are done. So the Bears aren't winning the Super Bowl. So no one really cares about it anymore.
Okay, what else do you want here? Are you trying to piss me off today?
Thought we'd get some NFL talk. I haven't talked to you in like 2 weeks. Are you a World Juniors guy or what?
No, but I was in a great mood today. I got all my.
You're still in a great mood. We're talking NFL. There's nothing better than this.
All right, what else you got to me? What else you got?
I just asked if you're a World Juniors guy and you're ranting.
I haven't really paid that much attention to World Juniors, but I know that that French kid that. Philly drafted in the fifth round, made the team, so yeah. I'm happy about that.
No, they got one. I think they got one prospect on Canada and two on the Americans. Am I right? Something like that. Maybe I'm wrong.
He's probably, you might be right. I don't know.
I think it's something like that. But again, I'm a big World Juniors guy. I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, Canada's got a sick team, but it seems like you don't know them, so I won't even ask about it. Do you got a favorite World Junior memory? Well, we were talking Canada, Russia earlier in the show. So let's end it with a favorite World Junior memory from you.
There's a couple. I mean, obviously, what was it 2 years ago when Candy came back and against the Russians in the final and won that? They got like three goals late in the game.
That's in the checks.
Yeah, exactly. And then, I think ironically enough, it was against the Russians again. I think that's when they had Eberle and Tavares on that roster. Remember when they also came back and won that insane game?
2009.
2009 in Ottawa, I think, right?
Yeah, you're right.
That's probably the one that's most memorable for me because I couldn't believe that they actually came back from that. Man, the Russians, geez, pain, eh? Some of these finals have just been pure pain for them, especially against Canada.
Well, they've also won their fair share of recent. I mean, they've got something going, whether it's legal or not. They've got their own thing going.
I need to ask you something because you brought this up 2 weeks ago about the Olympics coming around the corner. It's really starting to heat up now. Like, I'm not going to lie. I wasn't really that much in tune with it because I just assumed that everyone, it was like a full go, like obviously playing for your own country and, you know, having the opportunity to have guys like McDavid, McKinnon, Matthews all playing. Like, they're obviously not on the same team, but all these superstars going to these Olympics and Canada's team is just an absolute joke. So, this would be like a once in a lifetime opportunity for us to even witness a team like this. So of course all the want to go, but with these protocols coming up with COVID and the extended amount of time that they would have to stay if they test positive, like, is it even worth it? Like, do you want to go that long without a game check as well? Like, I don't know, man. Like,
you don't get paid by game. This ain't the CFL anymore.
No, their paychecks aren't changing there. But, I mean, you bring up a good point, and the part that pisses me off is that this is the only time ever I don't see Crosby playing in the Olympics in 2026. Like, you know, it's not like we want to see Joe Thornton or, you know, like, what would he be there? He'd be like 40. So, like, this is like the best Canadian team we could ever see put together, and we might not get it because of COVID. That's disappointing. Yeah. And I mean, from players we've talked to, we've got, you know, players who are going to be or could be on Team Canada. They've straight up said, like, hey, I'm not going. It's not worth the risk for me. It's not worth it right now. They're like, I'll go another year. I'll go in 4 years, whenever. And there's other players, and Andy Strickland even mentioned that today, is that players are like, hey, I'm 100% going. You know, if we're allowed to, I'm going to be there. Doesn't matter if I miss a month or two of NHL action. Like, it really doesn't matter. They're going to be there.
Yeah, I just, you know, I'm really curious to see who kind of steps up. And I feel like if it's one of, like, the more notable players on Team Canada, like a McDavid, even though I can't really envision him saying that, because, like, I feel like that this, all this guy talks about is having the opportunity to play for Team Canada. So I think it would take a lot for him to kind of regress from those comments that he's made earlier in his career and say, I don't want to go. But if a player from that kind of caliber kind of speaks up, I just wonder if it's going to be like a domino effect, and so-and-so's like, you know what? He's not going to go. I'm not going to go. And then it's going to just kind of carry over from there. So I'm kind of worried about that. But at the end of the day, I kind of understand it too. It's just, man, I really hope that they all go, man. That's going to be so much fun to watch.
I think as of right now, Robin Leonard's really the only one who said, hey, I'm not going. But again, it's Robin Leonard. Like, he wasn't going to be starting for Sweden. He probably would have been the backup or the third goalie. So that doesn't make a difference. I mean, I'll just say it myself. I'm not going to the Olympics either. So if that's the standard, like, we're going to be able, I'm not starting a domino effect here, Zach.
And, like, listen, I respect everything that Robin Leonard stands for. It takes a lot of bravery and courage to say things that he says. But let's be serious. Jacob Markstrom is going to be the starter of that team.
100%. That's right. Why he's just throwing a fit, because he's not the starter.
Pretty much. I think so.
That's going to do it. We'll catch up with Zach next week on Road to the World Juniors, presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. Meds, have a good week, buddy. Zach Medeiros right there, resident Grey Cup champion. We got to get out of here. We are, a little bit over time. Sorry, Jeff, 12-ounce sports. We'll catch you later. If you missed any of the show, Ben Holden, huge thanks to him for coming on. Zach Medeiros, as always. And, of course, your comments in the first 20 minutes. Download it at the Hockey Podcast Network and use promo code THPN on DraftKings. Till next week, everyone. No, I'm back tomorrow. Not till next week. Everyone, be kind, be better.